And what does prophecy say about Armageddon, China? How does it all fit in? In a moment, Richard Austin back with us on Coast to Coast. His latest work called China, the Grand Illusion That Deceived the World. He also wrote the book, The Coming of Armageddon, History's Longest Night. Richard is next with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, George Norrie with you, our special guest Richard Austin, financial analyst with an emphasis on macro geopolitical events. Richard specializes in international currency arbitrage. He has used his superb analytical skills to dissect the Book of Revelation from its original Greek text, as well as the history and commentary related to that document. And one of the most unique observations is that the three key statements that were disclosed at Fatima clarify the references to Armageddon in the Book of Revelation. We'll be talking with him about all his works. He was with me a couple of years ago as we talked about the coming of Armageddon. His latest work is called China, the Grand Illusion That Deceived the World. Richard, welcome back.
Well, it's very good to be back with you.
It sure is. You're in St. Louis, aren't you?
Well, I'm back here for a while. I come and go.
How do you like the weather today?
Well, rather inclement, I would say. I don't think you'd enjoy it.
It's cold, very, very cold. I hear with a wind chill, it's about 2 degrees above zero.
That's about it. A couple of people have called me to complain. Also about the traffic.
What have you been up to these days?
Well, I've been traveling quite a bit. I've spent time in the Far East researching this latest book. I have some very good contacts in Singapore that helped me.
Give me your take, Richard, on what's going on in Hong Kong. Just what's happening there?
Well, it's a very tragic situation.
Sure is.
As we proceed tonight to go over recent events in China, you will come to understand that the youth of Hong Kong realize that this is their last chance to avoid complete spiritual and physical servitude to the regime in Beijing. They're literally fighting for their existence. 3,500 are now in substandard jails. A number have been beaten up, maimed, or disappeared by Yakuza, who have been brought over from Tokyo, and other gangs, triads. And now the police are shooting them point blank.
Geez.
And you might say, this is 5 months this has been going on, but this is the future of their nation and their people.
Is it going to get worse?
I don't see anything stopping it, because they can't stop. They know in 2020, the iron gates are going to slam shut. And we'll get into that in a little while. What the regime is planning in Beijing, in China, mainland. So I don't think they can give up at this point. I think they prefer to die than accept what's coming their way. A worse servitude than exists currently in North Korea.
And this makes Tiananmen Square look like a play toy, doesn't it?
Well, they haven't actually. They want to avoid mowing people down. About 10,000 civilians were shot at point-blank range with the type of ordnance you shoot down airplanes. So you can imagine what that did to the people that were murdered. I have a friend in Beijing, and he saw the condition of some of these people before they were carted away, and he said it was just unbelievable. So I don't anticipate any ending here. It is affecting Hong Kong, the third most important financial center in the world. Property values are going down. The profitability of a number of the financial institutions is diminishing.
Most of the protesters are younger people. Were they around when it was a British mandate, when the Brits controlled Hong Kong?
No. That's just a distant memory to them.
So they really never experienced the kind of freedom that the people in Hong Kong had under British control.
Well, an approximate similarity, but not complete. And I think it's very interesting that these young people are waving both British flags and American flags.
Yes.
They view America and Britain as sort of the hope of the future.
Are we doing anything as a nation to help them, or have we basically been told by the Chinese, stay out of this?
Exactly that. Stay out.
And I guess we are at this point, aren't we?
Yes, there is some covert help coming to them, but it's very small, and there's not a lot we can do. We don't want to get into some sort of a military confrontation.
No, and we don't want to feed them weaponry, do we?
No, that's exactly it, because weaponry can be identified very easily.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, they'll blame us for provoking the whole thing, when it's really an internal matter.
This could cause, if we got involved, this could cause a Third World War, couldn't it?
Well,
hence your...
I'm returning to join you on this subject with some regret in my heart. World War III is now a fixed reality.
It's
heading towards us, and nothing can be done to stop it.
Are you saying this, Richard, because of interpretations of biblical prophecy or because of events, geopolitical events that you see, or both?
Both. See, we are in our last very interesting conversation. Oh, and let me just mention this to you. And I've thought about this a lot over the 3 years that have intervened. At the very end of our conversation, you expressed a very moving wish that a global war could be avoided.
Yes.
And I detected the emotion in your voice, and I was very impressed by that, because like any concerned human being, you know what this is going to involve. So, in our earlier conversation, we talked about the unique correlation between the Book of Revelations and the various conditions that are cited there.
Yep.
As being the time when Armageddon will occur. But it's open-ended. And then in the early 20th century, of course, we had Fatima, and then that pinned the whole thing down to China and Russia. And also in the second secret, the Third World War is predicted. It's stated that there will be a Third World War. Now, a lot of people contacted me and they said, well, we find these scriptural information very interesting, but China's not going to start a war. They're doing great. And I found that the majority of Americans have very little information about China. In fact, according to a poll, 40% of Americans have a positive view of China. So I thought, well, we've got the Book of Revelations, we've got Fatima. Now what we need is the hard facts on the ground. What's actually happening in China?
Exactly.
And that's the purpose of this second book. And I did not want to take the time to write it, to be quite frank, because it turned into an enormous time consumer.
Oh, but it's so important.
Well, I looked around and I thought, is there another book that goes into everything, factually verified, well-researched? I could find books on this or that, but not the whole spectrum. So I broke it down into 13 categories. It's easy to read, and it gives you everything. If you want to know what's happening in China today, it's there. Now, Another thing that I decided to do, I finally had to cut off, you know, China is an ongoing process. And so I said to myself, well, every week or so, something new comes up. If I keep postponing the book,
you'll never get done.
Never. The book that went on forever. So what I've done is this, and I hope people take advantage of this. I have started a Twitter page. I don't use Twitter because the people I work with, we communicate by phone and by
email.
Internet. So what the purpose of the Twitter page is, I want the people to come on there and identify themselves as a follower. Click on, there's one message there. Click on as a follower, and every time something of real importance comes that updates the book, I will reference the book and give them a hyperlink that explains the latest developments.
Now, is your Twitter feed linked up on your website?
Not from the, you can go from the Twitter page to the website through a hyperlink, but you see, I'm trying to have those hyperlinks just going to these particular updates.
Okay, in a moment I'm going to ask you to spell out your Twitter link for people so they can have it. Then we'll post it on our website so people can go and reference it very easily, Richard. When you were on with me 3 years ago and we talked about your earlier book, The Coming of Armageddon, many of the things that, of course, we're talking about now, the Book of Revelation and the signs that are out there, tell me about the tie-in with Fatima. Fatima has fascinated me since I was a boy, going to my Catholic catechism classes, where, you know, a couple of youngsters in Portugal spotted the Virgin Mary standing on a rock, and she gave them secrets. All the kids, I think, have since passed. And But the first couple secrets, what the first one was, what, the consecration of Russia or something like that?
Well, let me say this. I'm delighted that you have emphasized Fatima. I think it's one of the most understated and underestimated events of recent history.
I agree.
You had a celestial figure appear and deliver three very explicit messages that presumably come from the Almighty. Now, that's pretty serious stuff. Now, the children assume, since at one point, this is pretty sad, they got thrown in jail for disturbing the public peace.
Yeah, I mean, they accused them of lying and all these poor kids.
I mean, they were just trying to convey what, you know, had been passed to them. So they asked, there was also an angel involved who's likely Gabriel. And the little kid said, would you please ask that some sort of a miracle be performed because nobody's going to believe us. and it's only going to get worse. And also, we don't like being in jail. So we then had the miracle of the sun.
And there's a photograph that was in a paper at that time of these hundreds and hundreds of people looking up at the sun with this huge brightness, which they claimed the sun actually moved closer to the planet. Now, I got to tell you, Richard, one of the theories we've tossed out on this program was that what they were looking at actually might have been a UFO in front of the sun coming down as well. I still can't rule that out. What do you think?
Well, first of all, approximately 80 to 100,000 people in a area diameter-wise around Fatima witnessed the miracle.
Right.
Among those people were many prominent journalists from the Iberian Peninsula. I read the accounts from the Portuguese papers. And there's no question that this was not mass hysteria. You can't have people. There were even some scientists who came. They assumed, well, this is a bunch of baloney. You can't have that many people, hardened journalists, not seeing something that's valid. Now, what actually took place was that they refer to the sun as dancing and spinning,
mm-hmm.
changing color. And the fact that it assumed some extremely beautiful, soft tones. One of the papers speaks about light coming through the stained glass window of a cathedral. So it had a heavenly connotation.
Like a prism or something.
Well, actually, you could look at the sun. See, that's another thing. Under normal circumstances, you can't look at the sun.
No, you burn your eyeballs out.
Exactly. It ruins your retina. Well, people were able to look at it and see how it moved in a circular way and seemed to dance. And that's the word that crops up in all of those newspaper accounts, the sun dancing. So spite of the fact that you have this heavenly visitation, you have this miracle witnessed by all these people, to this day, people don't pay much attention to Fatima.
No, they don't. Now, did that miracle make believers out of the law enforcement folks at that time?
Well, they did leave the little kids alone. Actually, the one who provoked the imprisonment was the local mayor. I don't know whether he was worried that was going to affect his election.
Exactly, exactly. And, of course, one of the kids ended up being a sister, Sister Lucia, who passed away several years ago. And she carried these incredible stories with her for her entire life, didn't she?
Yes.
It was just dramatic.
Now, incidentally, people say, well, why did the Virgin Mary appear to three little kids? You will find, when you go back in theological history, angels prefer to appear and work with those they view as innocent.
Yes, absolutely right.
They're not comfortable with adults. While it seems sort of strange that they would communicate with these little children, that's a consistent thing that happens.
They were pure.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. And they feel comfortable with them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you see, a heavenly creature sees our spirit, not really our body. And if you're an adult, your spirit is to some degree tainted by living in the modern world. So little children are unspoiled and untainted to an angel or to the Virgin Mary. So.
Well, Richard, what did the Virgin Mary tell the children that would lead you to believe that there's some tie-in there with the apocalypse, the Armageddon, the Third World War?
Well, the information that we're given in the book of Revelations is that, for instance, one of the really key pieces of information is that there would be protracted violence along the Euphrates River in four nations. And this would go on for a very long time. The four nations, of course, are Kuwait, Iran, Iraq, and Syria.
And that's happening. Stay with us, Richard. We'll take a break. We'll come back and pick it up right there at that spot. Richard Austin with us. His latest work, of course, is called China, The Grand Illusion That Deceived the World. His previous books include A Fancy Wall Street Man of a Brief Season, but The Coming of the Armageddon. That's the other important book, The Coming of Armageddon. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. George Norrie with you along with Richard Austin. We'll take calls with Richard next hour as we talk about Armageddon and China's link. Let's go back to Fatima if we can, Richard, with the little children, of course. What was the secret that led you to believe that we could be in Armageddon or Third World War, or that even China was involved?
Well, first of all, in the book of Revelations, they specifically state that when you have this protracted period of warfare in these four nations along the Euphrates River, this would be the, excuse me,
sure,
the prelude or set the stage for what is referred to as the kings of the East. Now, in John of Patmos' time, political leaders were kings. And John specifically mentions that the invading army would be 200 million people. Only China can produce that sort of manpower.
That's true. That's true.
So we know it's to the east. We know it's China. But at that point, the whole subject is left open. We don't know what is going to happen at that point. And that's why humanity has been so baffled by this whole subject. In fact, because of the destruction involved. And incidentally, I will tell you something very interesting. There was one small bit of information in Revelations that didn't seem to fit.
What was that?
That has now been put in place. So everything that's mentioned in Revelations as a condition for Armageddon taking place in the Far East is now in place.
It's a puzzle, and all the pieces look like a puzzle now when you put them together. What was that last piece that looked a little strange to you?
Well, the islands being moved. Well, where are the islands? Well, they're in the South China Sea. You know, China has seized one of the most important navigable bodies of water on Earth, the South China Sea. They've built all these artificial islands and weaponized them with runways,
mm-hmm.
put forces on them, and electronic scrambling equipment, and the latest anti-ship missiles.
How do you make an island without it sinking?
Well, there were these uninhabited atolls that actually go to the sea floor. So they just excavated a lot of sand.
Okay.
All right. And put it on these atolls.
So the bases were already there, the bottom part. Okay.
And they have now created seven bases so they can completely control the South China Sea.
And they're pretty good size, too, aren't they?
Yes. They have runways on two of them that can accommodate the latest stealth fighters and bombers. So they can reach into the Western Pacific. They're built there in the process of exploring and getting ready to develop the Benham Rise east of Luzon in the Philippines. And they're about to negotiate a formal naval base that was important in World War II, and I believe it's the Solomon Islands.
They were very important in World War II.
So, it actually was a naval base, so they don't have much work to do. Now, this has so alarmed Australia that they have appropriated $10 billion to create a naval base on their northern shore. So they're not
to combat that. Interesting, interesting. And you believe, Richard, that this is China's plan to develop a third world war? Do you think that's their aim here?
Absolutely. And I'm going to, I want to just read you a quick list of some of the things that they have put in place. see, this is not going to be a just a conventional war with planes and ships. It's going to be more an electronic war. Now, here's a little list of some of the things that they either have completely in place or almost in place.
Okay.
They are establishing control of much of the global internet, and soon all of it. They're establishing control of much of the mobile communications, including the new 5G, over large geographical areas. They control portions of America's electric grid, perhaps some of its most vital sectors. They can inhibit and monitor surface rail transport in the United States. They have control over much of the consumer electronic equipment at use currently in America that was manufactured in China.
True.
And is connected to the internet. Just in the past month, Homeland Security has concluded that all of the drones that people love are compromised. Also, many mobile phones are compromised if they were manufactured in China. Now, in the past 6 or 8 months, they discovered that some of the most sensitive computer installations in the U.S. government, Defense Department, and the CIA, their computers are compromised. I won't go into all the details, but the motherboards were produced by a company called Supermicro. That's the Microsoft of
China
motherboards. Jeez. And they had a little piece, looked like a little grain of rice on it. And people totally overlooked it, but it enabled them to penetrate these very vital computers. And they've been doing it for years. And even the computers on some of our warships. Another little tidbit here, if I haven't maybe grossed you out a bit already. They have the ability to shut down global surface transport over a significant portion of the Earth's surface.
By hacking into it?
No, the Belt and Road Project, they have now 60 key installations. They are not economic installations at all. They are manned by military people under the control of the Ministry of Public Security.
Amazing. How did they get to this point, Richard, where they got, I mean, I'm thinking of the days when Mao was heading up China. It was almost like a third world nation. I mean, they revered him. But, you know, back in the Nixon era, you know, the ping pong diplomacy and all that, China wasn't nearly the capable country that it is today. How did they pull this off?
Well, if you look at the book, I give you excruciatingly painful details of how they ripped us off for 35 to 40 years. They, all of the money and all of the technology has been stolen from the United States. And I refer to it in the book as the Great China Scam.
And they brilliantly duplicated it, didn't they?
Well, it see, this list that I was reading you, and I'll just throw this into the hopper as a final
item.
I speak about these bases. They can now control the Strait of Hormuz, the Suez Canal, the Strait of Malacca, and even the Panama Canal.
That's right. We gave away the Panama Canal, and they took it over.
Well, no, we gave it to Panama.
We gave it back to Panama, but they cut a deal with China.
Well, what they did is they, China came in and invested money, and they took over the bases at either end, Balboa and Cristobal, plus the Rodan Naval Base and other military facilities that used to be manned by the U.S. Military. Members of the People's Liberation Army are now in those military installations, and at either end of the canal, a majority of our seagoing transport goes through the Panama Canal, and when one of our ships goes through the canal, as you know, the captain secedes operation in the canal to a local personnel who
they take over the ship, basically, to get it through.
So whenever our ships go through there, they're taken over by someone from the People's Liberation Army.
To get it through.
Yes.
Yep. That's right. You're absolutely right. We call those spots, by the way, in the Navy, choke points.
That's exactly it. I mentioned these four key choke points. And, of course, the Strait of Hormuz. You see, China is a very close ally of Iran.
That's right.
You may wonder, where does Iran get all of this technology? From China. Now, the Pakistan, which used to be our ally, is now dominated totally by China. China has taken over two important naval installations, including one at Gwadar and the Turbat airport. And they also have control over a important island, which they're installing missiles. So in conjunction with Iran, they can now block any oil from leaving the Strait of Hormuz.
At any time?
At any time.
At any time. Now, the current Chinese leader, Xi Jinping, I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but is he deceiving us or what?
Well, you have brought up a very, very, very important point in my book. Xi Jinping is not what you think he is.
Uh-huh.
He is a gigantic ruse, a deception. And you might say, well, what are you even talking about? Well, I devote a whole chapter to him. He has no real power. People think he's like the successor to Mao Zedong and has even more power. He has none. He's a representative of the people really running China.
He's like a front man, a PR guy.
A front man. In fact, all of the...
Interesting.
All of the people who... the Americans go to China and do business with, they're all front men. The government in China owns everything and controls everything.
Who are the puppet masters there?
Well, you're going to have to read that chapter because it's so complicated how the historical way that this situation with Xi Jinping came about. I refer to them, I have referred to them various times on my website as the elders.
Richard, I'm amazed with this book that someone there has not tried to shut you down, if you know what I mean.
Well, I hate to tell you, they have.
Really?
Yes.
Have you been threatened?
No, but I've had a lot of trouble with my computers and things. I had to work with my website provider because I had to go and find out the code. They were getting into their whole system, and my website provider didn't even know they were there. So I got them the code, and they were very grateful.
Now let's go back to Revelation because that's important. How that ties into China, and how you were able to pinpoint China as that country.
Well, so we've said about all we can say about the book of Revelation. And then until the early 20th century, we didn't have any further information, and then we get Fatima. Well, why did it occur at that time? The events And there are six particular important events that took place in Fatima. The Virgin Mary, I believe it was July the 13th, she appeared. Each time something happened in Russia, the events in Fatima are correlated directly to the Russian Revolution and the rise of the Bolsheviks. In other words, something would happen in Russia, and then shortly thereafter, you would have a response from some sort of a heavenly figure in Fatima. And there were like six particular episodes. So there's a direct correlation, but see, Mary, which in the second secret, she specifically speaks about the pernicious ideology of the Bolsheviks, Marxist-Leninism, that it was going to cause enormous suffering, it was going to cause persecutions. And in our last discussion 3 years ago, I mentioned how the Bolsheviks went on a killing rampage and murdered 100,000 priests and bishops.
Jesus.
I mean, Russia was traditionally an extremely devout country, and they just murdered everybody associated with the Russian Orthodox Church. So Mary says, unless Russia stops doing this and returns to its spiritual roots, there's going to be persecutions and wars, plural. That would mean, she said this at the time after World War I, so we got World War II and then World War III. And she said that the eras in Russia will spread to other nations, and that will lead to
that third
catastrophic war in which nations will be annihilated.
Hold on, Richard. We're going to come back from war after the top of the hour break, and then we'll take calls as well. Richard Austin with us. His two latest books, of course, The Coming of Armageddon in China, The Grand Illusion That Deceived the World.